Question number one, what is your greatest discouragement in service at home? The greatest discouragement is when there are arguments in the home, especially within or between children and between myself and my wife. That would be the greatest discouragement. And when it is not resolved and it continues and it drags on, that would be the worst. And so it is important as the head of the house to prevent this. And when it happens, prayerfully apologize when it is between myself and my wife, because as the head of the house, you know who must be the first one to make the first move to bring reconciliation. As the head of the house, it has to be the head. So every time when there is a discouragement or disagreement between a husband and wife, the husband must always make the first move, because the situation in the home is no longer healthy. And therefore, it is your duty to bring it to the state of spiritual well-being. And since there is an argument, make the first move. And most of the time in all arguments, both parties are usually wrong. It's a matter of who is more wrong or less wrong. So either way, wrong is wrong. And since you are the head of the house, the spiritual well-being is your responsibility. And now that it is undermined by your quarrel, apologize. It's between your children, then help them. Prayerfully ask the Lord for help so that you will know when is the right time. Say the right words to bring about reconciliation. And when they see how mom and dad reconcile, that will give you the moral strength to also tell them to reconcile. If you do not, they will just simply look at you. Mom, dad, when you both quarrel, you never reconciled. Why should we? You are in trouble. Okay, so this would be the greatest discouragement in serving the Lord at home. For me, of course, no work, no school, so they don't apply. Mine would be in the church. The greatest discouragement would be when there are members in the congregation who cannot get along. The Bible is very correct to say that it is harder to reconcile two brothers who are quarreling than to conquer a defended city, because that is the matter of the heart. And so getting the both of them to reconcile, someone going to make the first move. And you and I know, even if one party wants to reconcile, if the other refuses to reconcile, it's not going to work. Both parties must want to do it for Christ's sake. And reconciliation means they become brothers and sisters again, good friends, trusting each other. Okay, so that would be, to me, as a pastor, the greatest discouragement. Doctrines are easier to handle and deal with because the Bible is there as our objective and infallible, inerrant guide. But when it comes to people problem, both claim they are right, and you don't have a time machine to go back in time to investigate as clearly as you would like, because when one party says, you never say this, and the other person says, yeah, you did say this. I never did say, you say, I say, didn't say it. And how do you know who say what and what say what? And so, how do you know? You can't. Both parties insist that they are right. And so you have to just simply go by another route and tell them, it's not a matter of who say what and what say what. It's a matter of both of you. Once upon a time, so close. Once upon a time, friends went out for meals together. And now, for whatever reason, do you think it's worth it to hold on to your pride and destroy a brotherly love and relationship that not only hurts you and hurt both families? Please, for Christ's sake, just as Christ has forgiven you, please forgive one another. It's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of, for Christ's sake. On these matters, it is better to be wrong and apologize than to insist on being right, and both of you are at odds, and your testimony for Christ is now in jeopardy. Okay, that's what I would share with them. Second question, do you see a relationship between keeping the Lord's Day holy and slothfulness in service? You know, when you and I think of keeping the Lord's Day holy, you should look at it from multiple perspectives. Okay? For example, usually our perspective in keeping the Lord's Day holy is a matter of faith. Right? Learn to live by faith, trusting in the Lord to provide all that I need physically, materially, from Monday to Saturday. And then on Sunday, I devote it unto the Lord to remind myself that I am no longer a citizen of earth. I am now a stranger and a sojourner passing through on my way to heaven. And now I must learn to trust in the Lord. And what I do on Sunday with God's people and in church for worship are the true activities in my life, because these are the only activities that will continue to do in heaven. Not what I do from Monday to Saturday in the world as a witness for Christ in a world that is dying in sin, because that will change. When I arrive to in heaven, I do not need to witness to any sinner, because no sinner will be in heaven. But what I do, and I spend time with God's people every Lord's Day, fellowshipping, studying God's word, talking about Christ, talking about the things of the Lord, they continue in heaven. And therefore, it is a very wonderful reminder of who I am. But when you look at it from the perspective of service, based upon the passage that we have studied, that's why the Lord is used in chapter 3 of Hebrews to contrast against Moses as the greater servant. Christ is greater because he served in the Father's house. Likewise, there's a reason why we are called children of God. You are now serving in the Lord's house, with God's family, with God's children, every Lord's Day. And so when you look at your life as a life of service, Monday to Sunday, for example, is your life on earth. Monday to Saturday, you serve. That is your life of service. And one day, that service will end. And that's why Sabbath means rest. Rest from what? Rest from your labor. The word is repose. You don't have to get out of your chair and serve any longer. Your service is done. And so when you look at the Lord's Day, which is basically the day of rest, rest from what? Rest from your labor in the world, laboring so hard to do the work of the Lord, to make ends meet. All these things will now come to an end. And you are now going home. That's why the Apostle Paul, who had been serving so diligently and faithfully, even in the face of persecution, he could honestly say, for me to live is Christ. It's the best life on earth, but to die is gain. I'm going home and I'm meeting my Lord. And keeping the Sabbath day holy is a reminder that I must not be weary in serving, because one day it will all come to an end when I return home. And the Lord's Day is a very good reminder of the privilege of service, and one day it will be all over. So how could I be slothful? To be slothful means I'm wasting my precious moment of serving the Lord. And every day I waste it, it's a wastage that is eternal. It will never come back, even though I may regret it and I want to give my best tomorrow, but today is wasted. But thank God you learn from it, you will not waste any more days, because tomorrow will end. It's not going to go on and on and on and on and on, right? And the Lord's Day is a stark reminder that one day, that day will be our final day of service. We had a church member who had been diagnosed with very serious cancer at the start of this year. He kept it a secret. His family all did not know. And so that Sunday, when I shook his hand, wish him God bless, I did not know that that would be the last Sunday he was with us. Because news came to us that weekend that when he went to see the doctor, they all thought it was just a very simple problem with his lungs. Something similar to what Elder Ko Kim Hyang has. Not realizing that within less than 24 hours, the news came. The church member could not even rush back from church worship service on time. The Lord had taken him home, the father gone. Just like that. The mother is very sick. We all thought the mother would go home first. And so they even struggled to when to tell mother that father is gone. Because the father was the only caregiver, always there for her, devoted his life, looking after the wife who is suffering from a very serious condition. I do not know the medical term. It's not dementia, but it is something that is very rare, but very debilitating. And now he's gone, just like that. I never realized that Sunday, shaking his hand and wishing him God bless, would be the last and final. You never know, because you know that tomorrow will never always be there. There will one day come, no more tomorrow. That's why I cherish every day of service, and the keeping the Lord's Day holy is a reminder of our heavenly rest one day. Number three, is it possible for a person to sincerely experience salvation, grace of God in Christ, and not serve or have no desire to serve? Is it possible? To me, it's impossible. If you are truly born again, you cannot not have a desire to serve, because the Holy Spirit who dwells in you will propel you and compel you in that direction. You will be miserable to no end, knowing that your life is not a life of blessing to your brothers and sisters in Christ if you're not serving in church at all. Your life is very one-dimensional, even if you are a fervent evangelist sharing the gospel with your friends and colleagues out there in the world where you work. But one aspect of your life will continue to haunt you. My life is not a blessing to any brother or sister in Christ. And that is not possible, unless you love to be miserable, because the Holy Spirit will continue to convict you and compel you. And every time you come to church, you see people serving, you will feel so filled with guilt that until you commit your life to serve where God has given you that spiritual gift, all of us have been given one spiritual gift. The moment you're born again, our duty is to discover it and find out what it is, develop it, and maximize its blessing and impact in the lives of others. All right, so if you have the gift of teaching, improve, learn how to be the best teacher you could ever be in teaching children, for example, or adults or elderly, whatever it is. Find out what it is and keep serving. You see, if the Lord has saved us, left us behind, and have not given us a spiritual gift, have not given us any mission, then you can do what you want. You don't have to serve. Just like in the parable when the landlord said, I'm going to a far country and I'm going to come back. But he gave them 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Like, if he had not given them any of these things, right? I'm leaving, you'll stay behind. You didn't task us to do anything. And so therefore, the servants could do whatever they wanted. And so when he returned, what did you do? I did nothing. You did not task me with anything to do. And so therefore, I did nothing. And they would have a very legitimate excuse, but he gave them 5, 2, and 1 talent, telling them to use it and then to maximize the profit. God saved us, left us behind. He gave all of us spiritual gift. Don't say, I don't know where to serve. Find out what the spiritual gift. You cannot blame God. You saved me, left me behind, but you did not give me any spiritual gift. Therefore, I'm spiritually useless to anyone other than to share the gospel. He did not give us that option. All of us are given at least one spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 made that very clear. Okay, Galatians 5:13 tells us we are all saved for service. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Right? We have been given liberty because of Christ. We have been delivered from bondage. You and I can do whatever you want, but do not do anything or whatever you want that will cause people to fall into sin or hurt people and stumble their faith. But you use this liberty with the spiritual gift to serve one another. There are other Bible verses, 1 Corinthians 15:58, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord, right? Steadfast, unmovable in your faith, in where God has called you to serve. And don't be pushed aside. Don't be pulled aside. Steadfast, unmovable. Don't be moved. How do they move you, pull you, or push you? Your family could do it. Your job could do it. So many ways the devil could use to push you away. But you remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Romans 12:1-2. offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable what? Service, which is worship. Serving the Lord is always worship. And finally, Galatians 6, 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Right? So many Bible verses to teach us that we have been saved and left behind to serve the Lord. And therefore, if you are truly born again in Christ, you cannot not have the desire to serve unless you love misery. If you're born again, you'll be miserable. Now, if you're not born again, you feel very okay, very happy inside, then you don't have the Holy Spirit to compel you and to convict you, which is far more serious, isn't it? Because anyone who does not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not spiritual, which means he is not born again. When did we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? The moment Jesus Christ baptized us with the Holy Spirit upon our confession, and he will see the sincerity of our confession, and he will know, and he is the one who will save us. That's why when you share the gospel according to scripture, it is Jesus Christ himself who is offering salvation to that sinner. And when the sinner prayed the prayer of salvation, Jesus will know his sincerity, and Jesus himself will be there to baptize him with the Holy Spirit. And that moment, the Holy Spirit will now dwell in his heart. And the moment the Spirit dwells in his heart, he will also shed abroad in his heart the love of God, right? Romans 5:5. Thank you very much.